Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. As you're turning there, a three-year-old boy decided he could put his shoes on by himself. His mother noticed he had his left shoe on his right foot and his right shoe on his left foot. She said, "Son, your shoes are on the wrong feet." He looked at her with a raised brow and he said, "Don't kid me, Mom. I know these are my feet." From the mouths of babes. Amen. Luke chapter 5. Let's start reading right at verse 1. "So it was, as the multitude pressed about him," speaking of Jesus, "to hear the word of God, that Jesus stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and we've caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.' And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men.' So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and they followed him." Great passage of scripture. And we see here, setting the scene, Jesus preaching just off the shore of Lake Gennesaret. It's better known to us as the Sea of Galilee. It's a small sea, but it's incredibly beautiful. It has very narrow shoreline and massive rolling hills behind it. And just picture that scene in your mind's eye. Jesus sitting in that boat pulpit, just a few feet offshore, preaching to an eager crowd that had gathered along those narrow seashore, that narrow beach. Breathtaking. Absolutely breathtaking. And most are familiar with this account, and we clearly see how it illustrates the lordship of Christ in it. But this morning, I want us to see broken things. Broken things. Look at verse 4. "When he had stopped speaking, Jesus said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon Peter answered and said to him, 'Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.'" Simon Peter, or Simon, as this passage calls him, this is the Apostle Peter before becoming an apostle. This is Peter in his early life, his career before becoming an apostle. He was a very experienced fisherman. He knew the sea like the back of his hand. He'd gone out every single night. And he knew on that particular night that the conditions, they just weren't right for a catch. Nevertheless, as we read here in verse 5, he gives in and he lets down the net. Verse 6. "And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking." And that's the first broken thing that I want us to see here, is a broken net. Their net was breaking. The night's fishing was all done. It was daylight now. Experienced fishermen know when are fish most active? When do they bite the most? It's at nighttime. And they had been out all night, and now the sun was up, and they were in their boats. They were just cleaning up, washing the deck, scrubbing the nets. They had fished all night, the Bible tells us here. And how much did they catch? Absolutely nothing. But it's there, in man's failures, where God thrives. This is where God does his greatest work, when we fail. Their failure to catch fish all night long has no bearing on God, does it? It has no effect on God. It has no factor towards God. Jesus simply instructs them to go and let down your nets. Listen, when Jesus speaks to us, we need to just listen and go. Amen? Listen and go. No doubts, no hesitations, no second guessing. Just listen to that still small voice and go. Go where he leads us. Go where he tells us. And what was the result when Peter finally gave in? And we know he did it, you know, grudgingly. All right, Lord, I'll go do it. That's what you want me to. What happened? What do we see? A catch so great. The Bible tells us that their nets broke. Amen? Their nets broke. I want to note a couple things that this miracle required. The first thing that this miracle required was action. Action when the goal seemed impossible. Peter could have said, Lord, what's the use? You know, we tried all night. We fished all night. This isn't the first time we've been out and caught nothing. It's just one of those nights. And if we were in Peter's shoes, we would have most likely have had the same defeated attitude. What? Amen? It's kind of just our human nature. But too often, we view our problems, we view our situations as larger than God. Amen? Don't we? Sometimes we throw up our hands and we say, you know, look at this thing I'm up against and look what I'm going through. And we act like that's larger than God. Matthew 19:26. Jesus looked at them and said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. Amen? Little boy was at school and he was going through the lunch line and he saw a note on the cookies. The note said, take one, God is watching. When he gets to the apples, he sees another note. Take all you want, God's watching the cookies. Amen? That's a cute story, but what is the implication? The implication is that God can't be in two places at the same time, doesn't it? Truth is, a lot of times, that's how we live and that's how we react to problems. We limit God. We act as if God can't be working in your life and my life at the same time, that he can't remove that obstacle that I think is impossible to move. We need to make sure that we never limit God. Amen. Never limit God. Second thing it required was work. Work when fatigue called for rest. Amen. We can all relate to that. Peter and those other fishermen, they'd been out all night. They worked hard all night long trying to catch fish. In fact, the Bible tells us here that they were already done and doing the worst part of the job. And that was washing out those dirty, stinky, smelly nets. Amen? He had a good reason to decline, didn't he? Without a doubt. And listen, I can relate to Peter. As a bivocational pastor, I have another full-time job besides pastoring this church. You know, there's many times where you put in a 10-hour day at work and then you get a phone call and you need to be here or you need to run there and you need to take care of this issue. And you're tired. Amen? You wore out. Let me tell you something. When you see God in action, When you see His almighty hand upon a situation, you get a second wind, and that fatigue begins to disappear. You just have to make that step of faith. Make that commitment to work when the body says, I'm tired. Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Amen. Great pastor of old, D.L. Moody, pastored in the city of Chicago for many, many years. He was once asked, someone asked him, he said, Pastor Moody, do you ever get tired of the work? Dr. Moody replied, I get tired in the work, but never tired of the work. Amen. What a great answer. Never tired of the work. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. Jesus said, Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Friend, that's the kind of rest that we need. The rest that comes from Jesus Christ. Amen. Third thing that it required faith. Amen. It required faith when the circumstances called for doubt. Again, these were experienced fishermen. This wasn't their first night out. This wasn't their first time in a boat. And here they were asked to cast out their nets into the exact same place that they had cast them all night long and had caught nothing. Sounds like the definition of insanity, doesn't it? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Peter was like, Lord, come on. We've been through this all night long. The chances of catching a fish was slim to none, and Slim left town a long time ago. Amen? But we need to understand that that is man's odds. And that's where faith comes in, isn't it? That's what faith is all about. Proverbs 3:5, the Bible tells us that we need to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and not to lean on our own understanding. Amen? That is faith in a nutshell. Just trust in the Lord despite what we know, despite what we see, despite what we hear. Just trust in the Lord and don't lean on our own understanding. That is faith. Now, I want us to consider some things that this miracle demonstrated. Number one, it demonstrates that Jesus is indeed Lord of all. Amen. Colossians chapter 1. Everyone's familiar with this passage. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Christ, all things were created that are in heaven, that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. How many things? All things. What does all mean? All means all, and that's all that all means. All things were created through him and for him. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. That means he holds everything in the palms of his almighty hands. He is the one that keeps our earth spinning on its axis at the perfect angle, so that we don't freeze to death or burn up. He's the one that keeps all the planets revolving around the sun in this solar system so that they don't crash into one another. Jesus is the glue of the galaxies. And the Bible says here that in Him all things consist, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. Talked about that a few weeks ago. What does that mean? That means first place in everything. Preeminence. Whether it be the fish in the sea, the wind about us, the waves in the ocean, or you and me, Jesus is Lord of all. Amen? Whether you want Him to be or not, whether you recognize Him as such or not, none of that matters. Because He is Lord of all. And every knee will bow as we kneel before Him and declare that He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen? Secondly, it also demonstrates God's care for our needs. These fishermen, we need to understand that this was their livelihood. Amen? This is how they took care of their family. This is how they provided for their family. This is how they fed their family. And it's easy to look past this part of the passage, this part of that scripture. It's easy to look past that and just look to the miracle. But we need to understand the situation these fishermen were in. This was their livelihood. They were out all night, worked all night, and had nothing. No fish, no food. Couldn't eat anything, couldn't bring anything back to their family. But Jesus saw their need, and He met that need with abundance. Amen? Friend, God knows your every need as well here today. It doesn't matter what kind of need it is. God knows what you're going through. And He's just looking for you to take that step of faith towards Him. Amen? So that He can meet that need with abundance. We need to understand that He is all that we need. Amen. Third thing we see demonstrated in this miracle is that God's ability to bless is far greater than our capacity to receive. Amen. Jesus told Peter, cast out the nets. What happened? They started pulling in fish after fish. They filled the first boat. They had the wave. There's partners over in a second boat. They came over and they filled their boat to the point where both boats started to what? The Bible says they started to sink. Friend, we can never outgive God. That doesn't just mean in our tithing. That means in our time and everything that we have. We can never outgive God. He will pour out a blessing that is greater than we could ever receive. Malachi 3:10. You see that great picture. God says, He said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Where's the storehouse? We're in it. The church house. He said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse or the church house, that there may be food in My house. And He said, don't just take My word for it. He said, try Me on this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Amen. Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him, speaking of Christ, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. I don't know about you, but I got a pretty vivid imagination. Amen. The Bible says that Christ is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we can even imagine. We can even think. What happened when these men stepped out on faith? They caught so much that it began to break their net. That broken net is the first broken thing. Look at verse 8 in our passage, Gospel of Luke. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." That is a vivid picture of our second broken thing, a broken man before his Lord. You know, when you read this passage and you put logic to it, it's kind of a strained reaction for this situation. With such a blessing, I mean, they fished all night, couldn't catch a thing, and Jesus tells them to cast out the net, and now they have two full boats, so full that they begin to sink. You would almost think that Peter should be overwhelmed with joy, wouldn't we? But instead, we see him here as he bows down, overwhelmed with shame. Why is that? Why do we see this picture? Two reasons. The obvious and first reason is that because of his lack of faith. No doubt about it, we see it here. You know, Peter was telling Jesus, "Lord, we've fished all night. We've been through this. But anyhow, at your word, I'll do it." Reluctantly. You know, he was ashamed by his lack of faith. But secondly, and more importantly, it was because of Jesus' deity. Peter was smacked in the face with the realization that he was standing in the very presence of God incarnate, God in the flesh. And he didn't realize it until that moment. And this magnified not just his lack of faith, but it magnified every sin that he had ever committed. Amen. An experienced fisherman, he knew that what he just saw was nothing short of a miracle at the hands of God himself. And he said, "If God is standing next to me, he needs to get away from me because I'm a sinful man." And it magnified every sin that he ever committed. We also need to understand some backstory here. This wasn't Peter's first encounter with Christ either. Go to John chapter 1 in your Bibles. Gospel of John, chapter 1. We're going to skip down to verse 35 towards the end of the book, or the end of the chapter. John 1, 35. Again the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and, seeing them following him, said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, "Teacher, where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon Peter, and he said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought Peter to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip, and he said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." You see, that passage was when Jesus first called Peter. That passage was when Jesus first called Peter and he said, "Peter, follow me." What happened? Peter never committed to Christ on that day. And instead he returned to what? Fishing. Peter failed to commit to Jesus in that first encounter, and he went back to his old life of fishing. But now, in our passage in the Gospel of Luke, he is standing, he realizes he is standing in the very presence of God in the flesh. And he realizes all his failures. Praise God for forgiveness. Amen. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near those who have a broken heart, and he saves such as has a contrite spirit. Jesus is the cure for a broken heart, and he was a cure for that broken man named Peter. Amen. Last thing I want us to see this morning, go to verse 10 in our passage, Luke 5. Skip down to verse 10. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. They were fishing partners. James, John, and Peter. That was their livelihood. They were partners in this fishing business. And what happened? Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." Think of today's headlines and the business opportunities. Fresh fish saved by the boatload. Or heavenly fishery with Peter, James, John, and Jesus. No doubt they'd be signing up for a bunch of book deals, cornering the fish market with the king, top seller. Or the master fisherman, another top seller. But one statement changed all that. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." Amen. They went from perch to people. Peter went from salmon to souls. The most important catch of their life. And this is what was most important to Christ. That was what was most dear to his heart. He said, "What good is it if a man gains the whole world but loses his what? His soul." This is the greatest calling that we can ever have, to be fishers of men. And this needs to be our heart's desire as well. Amen. Now the book title reads, "Be Fishers of Men. You catch them, he'll clean them." Amen? And that's what it's about. Friend, we can't clean ourselves up enough to come to church. We just need to come just as we are and let him do the cleaning. Amen? We see verse 11. "So when they had brought their boats to land..." Here we see that picture of them after this massive catch. They bring their boats to land. They leave their boats. They let down their nets. They step out on faith. And they surrender to God's will for their life. What happens? He said they forsook all. And they followed him. They forsook just their fishing boats. It's not what it says, does it? It says they forsook all. Everything. Everything else that preoccupied them in their life, they turned their backs on. They forsook. And they followed Christ. How many of us today are willing to do the same? How many are willing to let go of this sinful world and just follow Christ and nothing else? Amen. How many will truly allow Jesus to be Lord of all, over every part of their life? You see, that's what a broken partnership is all about. Severing ties with this world and making that commitment to Christ first.